one of the blessings of being able to send Tom out, Pastor Tom, on these trips is getting to hear from a variety of other preachers while he's gone, and we look forward to hearing from Pastor Nicholas this morning. Pastor Nicholas is from Kenya. He has a degree in electrical engineering, and he serves as an ordained minister at Deliverance Church in Tika, Kenya. He's the chief coordinator at Global Outreach Mission, and he served for youth pastor for 5 years before taking a leadership role in a missions ministry for the last 6 years. Nicholas and his wife Lucy have three biological children, ages 10, 8, and 3, and an adopted 11-year-old daughter. And so we're privileged to have Pastor Nicholas with us here this morning. Pastor Nicholas. So I will be reading from Matthew 9 and then having a prayer for our brother from Kenya. Matthew 9, starting in verse 35. Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Lord, we thank you for Brother Nicholas. We thank you for what you have laid on his heart for us this morning. God, we thank you for your global body, the church that spreads across the world and that you are working all across the globe, God. God, we thank you that Pastor Nicholas could be with us this morning. God, I pray that you would give him clarity as he shares your word. God, I pray that we'd have open hearts to receive what you have to say to us, open eyes to see what you are doing, open ears to hear. God, I pray that we would receive this morning, God, that your word would fall on fertile soil. God, we give you this morning, we give you Brother Nicholas, we give you this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Blessings.
Thank you, Steve. Amen. Good morning, church. Amen. Thank you so much for having me. I will not repeat my names because he has done quite a good introduction. I also want to pray and believe that my accent will be good enough for me to be able to communicate. So if you get anything from me, you say amen, that will be confirming to me that I am communicating, okay? Amen. Thank you. I want to introduce our sister Gladys. She brought me here. She's a wife to Pastor Samuel at Carpenter Mennonite Church. Gladys, maybe you could just stand up and wave like this. Amen. Thank you so much for bringing me over here. I'm also glad to meet with my brother, Andrea. We have met many times in the International Missions Association meetings. I think the first time I met him was in Germany in 2016. And then we met last year and we've met this year. And I'm so glad to meet you again together in this place. Amen. Right, thank you so much. Now, I want to appreciate the leadership of this church for giving me a chance to come and share the gospel together with you. In a few minutes, I'll be finished with what I have to share with you. I am in the United States for a period of now almost 3 weeks. We went for a meeting with Andrea in Mexico. And we went for a missions conference there, and we also were visiting people in the villages of Mexico and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the passion that I have on my heart, that I may be able to reach that other soul that does not know about the love of Jesus Christ and bring them to the knowledge of the Lord, that they may also have a good path towards the kingdom of heaven. And that is a great thing that I feel I can do it at any cost of my life. Now, this morning, I'm here to speak, and I will be doing this in the 25 minutes that I've been given. I pray God to help me to keep time. You know, in Africa, we have all the time. and you guys, this side of the world, you have all the watches and everything. So you watch and we keep it, the time. But I thank God for this morning. Now, I want to bring to you the message today. I forgot something that I was given here to use. Allow me to... Do you allow preachers to walk around as they preach? All right. Thank you so much. So I want to speak on this subject that I'm calling, He Needs More. He Needs More. Can everybody say, He Needs More? I don't know what was the last time you were in a classroom, but then you can be like a student. I'm preaching about He Needs More. Who is this that needs more? The scripture that we have read, and I want us to read once again, Matthew 9:35. The Bible says Jesus traveled through all the cities and the villages of the through all the cities and the villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And wherever he went, he healed people of every sort of disease and illness. He felt great pity for the crowds that came because their problems were so great and they didn't know where to go for help. They were like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is so great, but the workers are so few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest, asking him to send out more workers for his fields." And this morning, before I proceed much, I read through the bulletin, and I saw this church sends missionaries, and your pastor is out on missionary work. I also saw that there are people who are, you know, they have gone through issues, some of them drugs and all that. They are into rehabilitation and all those things that we are praying for in the prayer items. I also see quite a number of our relatives and our relations who are sick. And so when I look at this scripture that Jesus said, he said, he felt great pity for the crowds that came. When Jesus saw crowds coming, he felt great pity on them. And the reason why he felt great pity on them is because their problems were so great and they didn't know where to go for help. I would like to open the eyes of every one of us who is here. Our eyes are open. But sometimes when you look around us, what do you see? When you see people languishing out there, when you are entering that mall or that shop and you see that homeless person, what do you feel? Now, this is the feeling that Jesus had, that he saw they had a lot of problems and they did not know where to get help. They were like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is so great, but the workers are so few." Now, I've been waiting, and I think we will keep waiting for a time when it will be said that the harvest is so little and the workers are too many. I don't think that time is ever going to come. The harvest remains great. The workers remain few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send out more workers for his fields. Remember, these are words of Jesus Christ himself. Now, Jesus' view and expectations of her church. We are the church of Christ. We are that bride of Christ. And I want to share with you a little story that I read. I don't know the author, but I just read it somewhere. And I said, this is good for my sermon today. There's a story of a drill sergeant who was putting his troops through some rigorous training exercises. So this is what he did. If you could look at me, I could describe what he was doing. This is what he did. He told them, "Lie down on your backs," because it was a training for troops. So they lay down on their backs. He barked at them and he said, "Raise up your legs." So the guys lifted up their legs. He told them, "Now move them as if you are riding a bicycle." Okay? At this last command, he watched around and he saw one of the guys, he wasn't moving his legs. He wasn't riding. So he asked him, "What's your problem?" Then the guy said, "I'm coasting downhill." You know, when you're coasting downhill, you don't ride. So just coasting downhill, going slow like that. The sad reality of the church is that after just a few rigorous exercises, it looks so sit back and coast downhill. When we finish one big project, we don't want to continue and move on the next project. We feel we have done great. I want to speak to the Church of America today. As I stand here, I want to let you know the fields are wide. I don't know how much you have done. Maybe some of you, you've sold your property, you are at the end of your savings. because of sending missionaries out there. Are you getting tired? Are you now coasting down the ride? You want to rest a little bit. We want to take a moment, a break. Let me give myself a break. Probably somebody injured you in the course of doing this work. Maybe you gave in so much to send missionaries out there. But then someone somewhere did not get accountable enough to do good. Or rather, he did not do what was expected of you. And so you are at a point of saying, hey, man, I need to take a rest. Let me relax a little bit. Let me look at how some other guys are doing. Or you want to send in people to go and research on some other things. And I want to tell you today, brethren, the church today, many of us, many places today, many people are sat down. They are comfortable. We are into conference. We are into, revival meetings. We are into seminars. We are into impacting ourselves. We are into Bible school. But then we have got those degrees. The question is, where and when are we going to exercise that which we learn every day on a Sunday morning if we don't go out there and do something? The Lord needs more. Praise the name of the living God. You say amen. When we are successful with one endeavor, we want to bask in the ambience of that success instead of moving toward the next successful venture that God has in place for us. And what happens is we get tangled up in the waves of the sea of complacency. Those of you who have traveled to Africa, sometimes the church gets too comfortable. Because of the big brother syndrome. We sit back there and we are waiting for the big brother to come and do 1, 2, 3 for us. Come build a school for us. Come take our children to school. Come do this. Come do that. Come do that for us. And so we are seated there and we get fat and we get happy and we drive big cars and we stay in big homes. And we are never sharing the love of Christ. I don't know whether this applies for you. And I don't want to preach to you like I know you. I want to preach to you like I'm preaching to believers like me. Don't you get comfortable. Don't get comfortable. Don't get satisfied. There is more that Jesus Christ is expecting of us. He doesn't want us to be complacent. Praise the name of the living God. I don't know about this church in Grovedale, but something I'm sure of is, I may have spelled the name wrongly. I know that's why some guys are already coughing. Hey, this guy doesn't know the spelling of our name. But something I'm sure of is Jesus needs more from us. Jesus needs more from us. He needs us to pray some more. He needs us to pray some more. How much time do you spend in prayer? Matthew 26, verse 40, the Bible says, then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Then he said, couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked. Can you imagine? According to Jesus, 1 hour was minimum. How long do you pray? According to Jesus, 1 hour was minimum. He asked them, couldn't you men pray only for 1 hour? How long do you pray? How much time do you spend in prayer? And when I say time, it's not about repeating things, going before the Lord and telling him the same thing over and over again. It is going to him and, crying, agonizing for the world that is lost around us. Crying and asking him, God, give us souls. Take missionaries out. Burden people for the lost world. Change our environment around. Change our politics. Put our nation on the right course. Make us to love you more. That is the thing. We need some more time to spend in prayer. Jesus needs more. Needs us to spend more time with him. He needs us to preach some more. Have you preached the gospel and said, now I'm a retired preacher? This wasn't a command to the preachers with a fivefold ministry. No. It's a command for everybody, every one of us. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul is instructing this young pastor. And he tells him, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. And he tells him, don't stop there. Reprove. How many of us are strong enough to reprove today? Sometimes we are so careful about what people are doing. Somebody is committing a crime next to you, but you say, I'm not FBI, I'm not police, I'm going to keep quiet on this. He's saying, reprove. Can you reprove your children? Can you reprove me? If a brother goes astray, can you stand up on him and tell him, brother, this is not the right way to go? We are no longer doing this because we fear the fear of unknown. I think we don't want to die for Christ. Paul tells Timothy, reprove. He tells him, rebuke. When is the last time you ever rebuked an evil thing happening around you? Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. All long-suffering and doctrine. He needs us to do much more. Hallelujah. He needs us to send a preacher. Answer the how questions of Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. I was reading these scriptures this morning when I woke up. And I read Romans. Of course, I began earlier, just a few scriptures ahead, where the Bible talks about how does somebody get saved. You know, where I come from, we don't just say you are Christian. You have to say, I am a Christian and I am born again. Because just saying I'm a Christian is not enough. We are born into Christian families and we get Christian names and we think we are Christian, but there's nothing Christian practice around us. So you have to go an extra mile and say, I am born again. And the scriptures in the book of Romans, chapter 10, if you read from verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he died on the cross because of your sin, you shall be saved. Now, when you look at the how questions from verse 14, the Bible says, those how questions, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And verse 15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We can do more. I'm speaking about he needs more. He needs us to be preachers. And some of us will say, no, me, I'm not the pastor, you know. I am not in Bible school. That is not my line. I am in a different line. I am operating something else. My calling is in another area. I am not a preacher. I met someone in this in the United States just the other day, a friend to Pastor Samuel at his office. And he was, no, I'm not a preacher. I'm just a good man. I just want to live a good life. Jesus is right within my heart. How will they know if we do not go to them? If you say my specialty is something else, let me remind you about the Great Commission. If you read the book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says, go ye into the whole world. It's a command that Jesus Christ is giving to everybody. He's not giving to a selected few. He says, go ye into the whole world. This is for all of us. And make disciples of all nations. Let me ask you, my brothers and sisters, when was the last time you ever made a disciple of a people who are not from your native area, who are not of your language, of your tongue, and of your tribe? Have you ever shared the gospel with the people who you don't even have an idea where they come from? Making disciples of all nations has to do with being intentional in our ministry. You become deliberate that I'm going to share this faith. I have traveled quite a bit across the world. Not so much, but I've traveled a bit. When I go to attend the International Missions Association meetings, I have been to Asia sometimes. One day I sat on a plane flying into Bangkok. And I sat next to a man who had an iPad like mine. And he opened the iPad and he was, watching quite a number of things over the iPad. And I also had my iPad, so I brought out mine and I started reading the Bible. And so we went. After 30 minutes, he kept on looking at what I was reading, Then he asked me, are you a Christian? And I said, yes, I'm a Christian. Then he says, I'm a Buddhist. Then we started a discussion. We talked about, the things that he believes. I talked about what I believe, just sharing my story with him. Talked about what I believe. He talked about what he believed. Then we go to the subject of forgiveness. And man, that guy had never, ever thought about forgiveness the way I shared. I talked to him about someone who didn't know me, who didn't care about me, who is not my tribe, who left heaven, came on earth to just die, to pay the penalty of my sins. And ransom me who could not have qualified for that. He looked at me and he told me that is too sweet to be true. And I told him, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is able to save. By the end of my trip, that man gave me his contact, his email address. I've not met him today, but I keep on writing to him emails and he responds to me like he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. I am still following that case. I hope one day that he'll make that decision. Come on, my brothers and sisters. We need to send a preacher. We need to do more. Have you done so much and you feel you are at the end of doing it? You got to start again and do more. Praise the name of the living God. He needs us to be good stewards of what he has entrusted to us. He needs us to be good stewards of what he has entrusted to us to do more. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, again, Paul talking to Timothy, he says this, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses. Now, I want you to be very careful about the words that the Bible says. The things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others and trust to reliable people. I am sure I'm speaking to reliable people here, right here. Everyone looking at me here, I know God considers you and he knows you are a reliable person. So he says, entrust them to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. He has entrusted us with these three. And I consider them, I call them the three T's that we need to have in our lives. The first thing that God has entrusted you with talent. None of us here came empty. God loaded you with talent when he was packaging you to come on this earth. There was something precious that God put in your heart. It doesn't matter your age and where you come from, how exposed or not exposed you are. There is talent within you. How have you used that talent? The second thing that I talk about is time. The time that God has given you, 24 hours a day, 365 days in a year, 7 days in a week. God has given you all that you may be able to serve him. How are you utilizing it? He needs more out of every minute that goes in your life. The third thing I want to talk about is treasure. God has given us treasure. The Bible says he's our father. He's a rich father. He owns cattle in 1,000 hills. He talks about himself. Silver and gold belongs to him. Everything that we get is just but a portion of what God has given to us. He has given us treasure. We have nice jobs. We have beautiful farms that we can farm. We have got businesses. He has given us a mind that is a dynamite of ideas that we can come up with business and do in this world. That is treasure that God has given to us. He needs more out of it. He needs more out of it. When you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, the Bible says, for where your treasure is, there your heart also is. If your treasure is in the things of God, that is where your heart is. If you invest your money into the kingdom, you support missionary work. I mean, you know, you give, like through the course that our brother has said, we have something that we are coming to give towards. That is something worthy doing. And you want to be there every time that is called. You don't want to be a critical person. You don't want to be the person who thinks about, if I give my money, the pastor is going to eat. What do you want a pastor to eat? He needs to eat that which you give. But besides that, he needs to serve God with greatness and you know, gratefulness, because we have put our treasure at the right point.
Hallelujah. Thank you for encouraging me on, my brother. Just about to finish. Brethren, this is what I want to say to you, church. Brethren, God needs more. Forgive my spelling of the name of your church. Grofdale Church members, this is to you. God needs more. Come on, touch your neighbor and tell them, God needs more. I pray that God, you give me more believers in this. God needs more. He needs us to be involved in the needs of our community some more. Get involved in the needs of your community some more. Find an elderly family and drive them to church. Find out whether their heating system is working in their houses. Don't just drive around and assume. If you know there's an old couple living somewhere there, do you know whether their houses are warming up or not? Or would you think it is the work of the federal, it's the government work, it's the work of the county government? God needs some more concern for the society around us. I passed somewhere this week going to a shop and I saw this homeless guy seated over there. Of course, I thought, how could you be homeless in America? You know, the assumption and the picture we have in Africa of America is a place of great opportunities. Everyone is doing very well and all that. And I'm not saying that you're not doing well. You guys are doing good. But then I saw this homeless guy seated there shivering. And I asked myself, are there no people who can give him some warm clothing? Then I was told, hey, listen, these guys are stubborn. You know, we have done everything. There's a place they can go and eat and all that. Probably he needs someone just like Philip, who can jump into his chariot of trouble and sit together with him and speak to him the love of Christ. Jesus Christ would be able to warm his heart and to turn around the life of that particular person. We need some people who can do some more for Jesus. This is my desire, and that is what I want to share with you. He needs us to love some more. He saw the affliction when his disciples decided to ignore and others were critical. The scripture that we have read in Matthew, Jesus, when he sees the multitudes, he saw a people who were, you know, he had pity on them because he saw a people who were afflicted. What lenses are you putting on, my brothers and sisters? Which lenses are you wearing? If they are blue, maybe you see blue. If they are black, you will see black. If you have lenses of mercy, you will see people who need mercy. If you have lenses of encouragement, you will see people who need encouragement. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, God needs more from us. He needs us to get out of our situations and jump out a little bit and see what somebody else is feeling and reach out to those people. He needs us to love more. He needs us to love more. When his disciples were ignoring, by the way, if you read that story, it's a very interesting one. Jesus sees these multitudes and he tells them, hey, come on, tell them to sit down. What do you imagine his disciples were going through? At that moment, they knew very well they have no food, and they knew these people will require food. They knew well they don't have bread to give to these people. Yet Jesus is saying, let them sit down. So they were wondering, what's wrong with our master? Doesn't he understand? Isn't he sensitive to the situations in which we are? We don't have money right now. We do not have food. When these people sit down, what are we going to do to them? But then he says, let them sit down. Because already he had known the things that Christ sees for our lives are far much beyond even our imagination. The Lord Jesus Christ, I want to think and imagine that he knew there would be a young boy there with his fish and a few pieces of bread, and that something would happen out of that. So the disciples look around, they see a young child and say, hey, you have this, can you give us this? And Jesus picks up that and he divides the bread and it multiplies. Could it be it is us who are limiting God to work out a miracle in our lives? There's something that God would want to do exponentially, but we look at ourselves and we limit ourselves. So he needs more. He needs more. He needs us to love some more, brethren. He knew and was focused on what he was sent to do. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he came to seek and save that which was lost. He didn't just save you for the sake of it. He wants more. He didn't just make you a Christian for the sake of being a member of this church. He wants more. He wants more. Praise the name of the living God. And that is the end of my sermon today. I want you to consider and to think seriously about your belief, your faith. What have you done with the faith? What have you done with the treasures that God has entrusted to you? What have you done with the three things? The talent, the time, and the treasure. You have time at every moment. Some of us, maybe you are in your early 40s like myself. I just turned 40 the other day. What am I doing with my time today? As a young man, I'm raising children who are becoming teenagers tomorrow. How have I invested my time into child raising? Did I reject my children and I was not responsible as a parent? Or did I spend good time raising them into a generation that will take Jesus Christ to the next generation? Because we are losing it. Christians are losing it in many places because parents have not invested time to give this gospel to their children that they may impact the generations that are coming. And that's why I'm saying we need to do more. Begin from home. Jerusalem is your home. Jesus Christ, before he left, in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he told his disciples, go and wait in Jerusalem until power shall come unto you. Then you shall be my disciples. He didn't say power shall come unto you and then you shall build nice homes and be comfortable and drive good cars. He didn't say power shall come unto you and then you will own properties over this world. He said, you shall be my witnesses. Beginning from Jerusalem. And he was very strategic in saying that. Beginning from Jerusalem means begin from where you are. You don't need to go overseas to be a missionary for Jesus Christ. You can begin at home. Make a difference in your environment. Then go to your Judea. Go to Samaria. And then go to the uttermost parts of the world. One day I said to myself, when God called me, because I'm an electrical engineer, and I worked for 10 years as an electrical engineer for some companies back home. Then God called me to the vocation to fully dedicate my time to serving him. By that time, my children are small. I have just a 10-year-old daughter. That's my firstborn. And our little boy is just 3 years. And when my son was born, just a few months after, I made this decision to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The question back home would be, how are you going to take these children through life? How will I take care of my wife, pay the bills and everything? And I said, I'm giving it to the Lord. It's a hard decision. My parents told me, this is crazy. You are not in your right mind. But I said, I want to dedicate it to the Lord. Now, today, I am so excited that by so doing, the Lord has given me an opportunity to share the love of Christ where I am today. I went to Mexico and I saw people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, my brother Andrea, when we just spoke to them. We could speak very little Spanish. But the interpreters, and he did quite a wonderful job, the guys who were with us would speak it and people would receive the Lord Jesus Christ just because of obedience. God needs more from your life. The opportunities he has given you in life, If you are a senior citizen, you have a chance to speak to the young generation and tell them this is how it was. Give them the stories of what happened yesterday, and they will listen into the future and tell them it is God who took us from there up to where we are today. They will relate and they will be able to connect and know that we need to keep the heritage of our faith. He needs more out of your life. He needs more out of your work. I am a believer in the people who minister and serve God in their marketplace. If I am on the farm working, I must be a witness of Christ to my colleagues or my customers who will come to my farm to buy something. God needs more out of our lives. May the Lord bless you so much. Amen. If you would allow me to pray just before I sit down, I would want to ask you to just take a minute, bow down your head, and think about the things that I've spoken today. Could there be anything within the sermon or within the things that I've spoken that you think you need to do some more? Maybe you need to love some more. Maybe you need to give some more. Maybe you need to commit or dedicate some more time into the ministry, into serving the Lord. And today you have heard me. I may have spoken loudly or slowly, but I want to believe that God has spoken to your heart. We need to visit some more. Visit the sick people in hospitals. Go to the rehabilitation centers and give our services. Just some more love. You're there, you're saying, Pastor, I think this is my word. And I would like to respond to this word. I want to pray with you. Shall we pray? Our dear loving Father and our God, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for this moment that you chose to speak to us in such a manner as this. I bless you because when you send us our Father, you knew that we need more time to spend before you. Yet, my Father, many times we find ourselves getting busy with a lot of things. I pray that, Lord, you touch our hearts and our minds and our lives to commit some more time in your service, to commit some more talent into your ministry, to commit, my Father, our treasures into fulfilling the Great Commission, that we may send more missionaries out there, that we may love some more, O God, that we may hold up and encourage some more, our Father, that we will open up our hearts, O God, and do some more for you. Impact our hearts with your love and your grace. Thank you so much, O Lord. We repent of the times that we have neglected and ignored the things that we could have done, O God, to make a difference in the life of somebody. I pray that, Lord Almighty, you help us, our Father, to just be committed and concerned about the issues around us and serve your purposes. Help us to read more your word. Help us to go for more fellowship and understand you. Help us to be missionaries. Help us to be involved in the work of evangelism, our God, and to grow the church to please you and to serve your purposes. We thank you and we bless you. Lord, I pray right now for every person that is sick and has a sick person in the hospital, wherever they are. Right now, intervene in their situations. In the name of Jesus Christ, do a miracle. Stretch your healing hand, our Father, and heal the sick in our midst. Deliver them that are in bondage, our Father. Give peace to the families of your people, O Lord Almighty, and liberate them that are captive in their minds and in their spirit. We thank you and we bless you because this we have prayed in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
I forgot to say something, but I think it would be good that I say. She's reminded me. I come from Kenya, and back in Kenya, I serve with a ministry called Global Outreach Missions. And Global Outreach Missions is a local ministry began in Kenya, but today we are doing missions across Africa. And what we do is that we have a vision to reach the church, so that the church can do the work of evangelism, or rather, outreach. And somebody would ask a question, why would you reach the church? There are so many unreached peoples in the world that we should have concentrated on doing. But back home, we realized that the church is not doing her role of reaching the community. What's happening is that people are getting comfortable, and we are happy growing big churches. In Africa today, we have churches that have big populations. I come from one big one. Ours has 300 members on every Sunday morning, and we run two or three services, and we have satellite churches. So these things are happening. But these many people in the church are not winning souls. Their lives are not transformed. And you hear of
very bad things about our nation, corruption, murder, and all this that happen every day. So we decided that we want to reach out to pastors, not only of one denomination, but the different denominations. Bring them together and tell them, let us reach our community with the gospel and the love of Christ. So we have three things that we do. We reach out to communities by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our primary thing. The second thing we do is that we offer medical services. Our people sometimes don't have access to hospital and all that. So we normally go with doctors and they offer free medical camps to the people of the villages and areas that we go to. And the third thing is that we feed the hungry. We go back home. Sometimes people don't have food. The drought is there. Some people are in a semi-arid area. They don't have food. So we take to them foodstuffs. And this we do annually, once per year. We begin our mission in January. We finish it in August. And then we move to another area. I carried a few pamphlets of our testimony. And this is just a testimony of what God did this year. We were able to move 4,500 believers, brothers and sisters, to an area that covers a population of about 250,000 people. And we reached that community within 1 week in 29 centers. We were able to reach 231 people. We visited their homesteads and we spoke to them on the streets. And out of this number of people, 12,900 people made salvation decisions. I mean, they decided to follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And there are many amazing things. Their lives were impacted. We trained some on life skills and all that. And so this is a testimony we are sharing. I'm not on a fundraising mission. I am on a partnership mission that this church can take time and be praying for that work. So we can put this pamphlet maybe on your notice board for some time. When you see Global Outreach Missions, you can pray for the work that we are doing. You can also decide one day you want to travel to Africa, to Kenya, to just come and be involved in the work. So we got together. This year, God blessed us to have some brothers from, you know, Nepal. A brother came from Nepal to us. Others came from other countries around Africa. And some few people from Germany came. And we just went in and did the work. And it was so amazing. So lives are impacted there. So you could want to spend your time there. You want to come and be with us in mission. Our contacts would be here. So you can contact me. I'm the guy in the office back home. And then the third thing is that if you want to spend your money, that is a good place to invest. You can send a missionary. I mean, you can say, I want to support one person to go into that work, and that would be a very good thing. So I'll leave our contacts back there, then you can get communicating with us, and that would be a good thing. God bless you so much, and thank you for having me here.